I feel like I've been up to God's throne room this morning and entered his presence and worshipped. Was that amazing or what?
That's
it,
amazing.
Yeah? Thank you so much, Pete. I'm not just saying that because you're my mate. But that was pretty cool. God is good. God's presence. Pete had the unfortunate pleasure of being stuck with me for 2 years, not a full 2 years, but once a month for 2 years at a kind of theology leadership course that we're doing, and he had to put up with my spiritual gift of silliness for 2 years. But I remember, if you talk to Pete, Pete is a gentle, gracious individual, and there was all these, imagine all these church leaders on this course, all full of testosterone and outdoing each other and how big's your church and all this kind of stuff, and somehow Pete got nominated to lead worship on before the kind of the day started, and I was a bit worried for him in fairness because he was such a gentle, lovely guy, and then he led worship and pretty much like 40 New Frontiers leaders went, "Pete, what was that?" It's like, so thank you so much, Pete, for coming. He's, yes, it's been amazing. So, we're going to talk about Stephen this week. And we've, over the weeks, we've been doing the Book of Acts, and we started off in the fastest sermon ever in the history of CCB at the baptisms, and we were talking about being baptized by water, repenting, changing the way that your life is going, being baptized, believing, and receiving God's Spirit. Are you ready to receive more of God's Spirit? And then we had Silvanus come up there a few weeks later, and Silvanus boldly came up and talked to us about how the Holy Spirit saturates us, and we become, what do we become, Silvanus? We become bold, not bold like that, yeah, but bold through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we had Andy a few weeks ago, and he chose the story of Ananias and Sapphira, which is a kind of preacher's nightmare, really, if you get allotted that piece of scripture, because it kind of ends up in death. And but he was talking about the kinks coming out of the church to let the church grow and progress. And again, it was about the power and the holiness of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And we've been looking at Acts because we've been looking at the emergence of the church. A church exploding into the world. Exploding. So it's been really, really exciting. So, let me tie my shoelace before we fall over. So we're going to go to Acts, and it's chapter 6. So turn to your Bibles or your iPad. I think there's more iPads now, isn't there? It's like, and even Jeanette over there is with an iPad. Well done. And we're going to read the story of this guy called Stephen. Good name. I like his name. So chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from you among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and 6 other men. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, power was doing great wonders and signs among the people, then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freemen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and those from Sicilia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand his wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Aram." And he goes on to deliver the longest preach in the New Testament. And he goes through the entire history of the people of Israel and how, when they are faithlessness, God was faithful to them. And how God does not live in temples made by man's hands. And then he goes on, and then a cracking close to any sermon, this. This is how he closes, yeah? So how would you like this if I close my sermon like this? He goes, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, and who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." What a great finish to a sermon. So what do you think they did? What happened? No, what do you think? They all came to the front and they gave their lives to Jesus. It was a time of ministry. Yeah? What do you think happened? Well, this is how well it went. This is what happened. So he finished his sermon, and then he goes, "Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him." Have you ever got so mad that you've ground your teeth at somebody? But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him, and then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of this young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord Jesus, send your spirit this morning. We just thank you for this story and this life of Stephen. Lord, may I cut down what needs cutting down in people's lives, and may I encourage and build what needs building. And Lord Jesus, send your spirit, keep me wise and keep me true to your word, for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Now, the reason I am called Stephen is because to do with this story. And when I asked my mum and dad why I was called Stephen, the story goes like this. It was the height of the 70s, and in the 70s there was a glut of musicals about Bible things like Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, and somebody had written a musical about the Acts of the Apostles. And apparently my mum played a role in it somewhere, but my dad played the role of Stephen. But that's not the reason why I got my name, I don't think. So apparently, is my dad played the role of Stephen. He ended up theatrically getting stoned, I think. But what amused my mum more is when they carried away his pretend dead body, which was my dad, they dropped him very hard on the floor. So they lifted him and dropped him. And my mum went, and that's why we called you Stephen, because I like it. So it must remind him of, maybe pain for my dad. I don't know. Well, I was a pain to my dad for some years, in fairness, but that apparently is how I got my name. But anyway, what's happening with Stephen? So this guy enters into the story when the church was growing. It was exploding, and different things are happening. Ministries are growing. People are coming to faith in Christ. And then everything is good. And then what happens? They start falling out. So when it all goes good, they start having disagreements. And some people are getting neglected. I'm not getting the same as this person. I'm not doing the same as this. And they end up falling out. So what happens is the apostles scratch their head and they think, what shall we do to sort out this? Which is quite right. They must have had a point. They must have had a point what they're falling out about. So they appoint some guys to serve tables. And again, they appoint guys to serve the widows. And they're serving the poor. And they'd opened the first food bank. Yeah, the first food bank in the New Testament, and they got these guys to serve the widows. And again, it's really interesting. I was reading an article by one of the guys in New Frontiers, and he says, if the church wants to serve the poor, look what the early church did. They appointed deacons. That's really interesting, isn't it? To serve the poor. So they appoint this guy called Stephen, and I imagine he's a young guy, a lot younger than me, even though I look about 16, a lot younger, I suspect. And he's not one of the disciples. He's not one of the main characters in the book of Acts, really. He's kind of a side guy. So they get it all sorted out. They appoint this guy, Stephen, and six other guys, and things go well for the church. So it says, in verse 7, it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly, and great many priests became obedient to the faith. So the problem, it gets solved, the church grows again. Yay! Brilliant, the church is all working properly. Nothing's going wrong. Brilliant, and then let's see what happens. But before we see what happens, I want to just look at five things that Stephen had in his character. So they appointed this guy to serve tables. This is who this guy was. So he was, it says, the Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit, which meant he would have been full of the fruits of the Spirit, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, to serve tables. Do you want to be full of the Holy Spirit? He says he was bold. He would have gone on great with Silvanus. Yeah? He was bold. He was full of wisdom. Yeah? Being full of wisdom is a sign of being filled with God's Holy Spirit. The first time I realised I was a Christian was when Lisa, I was driving, and Lisa asked me a question about something, and I must have given her an answer. This was years ago. And Lisa went, that was very wise. I'm like, well, I've never been wise before. What's happened? I'm still not sometimes wise. But actually, it was a mark that God had come and filled me with his Spirit. That's years ago. But actually, if you want wisdom, you need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And wisdom is not knowing stuff. Wisdom is knowing how to live right for God's glory. He was full of faith. Full of faith. So God loves Silvanus. Faith. You always say it. God loves faith. And we've preached about faith and obedience is God's love language. If you want to love on God, be faithful. Obey him. Yeah? Obey him. If he tells you something, just do it. Yeah? This guy was full of faith. He was full of grace, says the Bible. Full of grace, which means he knew that Jesus had died for him, a sinner deserving of death and destruction, and God had showered his grace on him. And because God has showered his grace on him, he showered his grace on others. He gave things to people, things they did not deserve. This is this man who served tables. He was full of power. Power! He did great wonders and great signs, it says. These works of power are not described, so they don't say what he did, but he says he was full of wonders and powers and miracles. And again, miracles and healings of things aren't to point to the person, they point to Jesus. And that's why he did it. So we've almost got a Christian rock star here, haven't we? Yeah, this guy had got everything. Everything. Yeah, he'd probably be doing conferences, we'd imagine, if you met a nice guy as nice as that, really full of God's Spirit, doing miracles. But what did they have him doing? What did they have him doing? They had him laying tables. Tables. That's because, and he was commissioned to serve and lay tables. Do you know what? All are important in the body of Christ. Everything you do for the glory of God is important. Yeah? It's not just the people stood here. Yeah? Whether you move, Alan this morning moved chairs. Yeah? And Beth. Andy Berry, bless him, before he led worship, he cleaned up sick last Sunday. But he did it for the glory of God. Yeah? You are commissioned to serve. Yeah? And it was great. So this is who this guy is. Anyway, what a guy. You think he'd be a cracking Christian and things would go wonderfully for him, wouldn't you? Yeah? Let's see what happens. Well, he got into trouble. Everything had calmed down for the church. Yeah, everything had calmed down. The church was growing again. They weren't falling out anymore because the people were serving tables. And then this is what happens in verse, he goes an almighty amount of trouble. And he ends up arguing with somebody, discussing with somebody, and he gives that sermon and all these things. And it did not end well. His sermon did not end with a vast altar call. Did not end with people coming to Christ. This is how it ended. I'll read it again. So they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And then he fell asleep. He preached a sermon that got him killed. What a moron, in an earthly sense. Stephen, this man of God, filled with God's Spirit, bold, who did signs and wonders, and was full of grace and wisdom and mercy, preached a sermon, got himself into trouble, and was, from an earthly perspective, an absolute and utter failure. And not only that, he wasted his life. And not only that, he sparked the biggest persecution of the church that had happened so far. How would you feel if I preached a sermon, or Sylvanus preached a sermon, or Jeff preached a sermon, or any person in this church preached a sermon that ended up with you lot being persecuted? So people knocking on your doors, taking your children away. How would you feel? What a troublemaker. You'd probably kick him out of the church, wouldn't you? Yeah? I don't know. Yeah? But how? This is what this guy did. This is the trouble that he caused. Yeah? He's an abject failure. What do you think? Do you agree with me? You know the end, because you probably don't. But earthly, he's an abject failure. And that was the early church. It went well for a really long period of time. They sorted out some problems. Then some dude preached a sermon full of grace. And they ended up persecuted. And that dude ended up dead. What a mess. What a mess. But what am I trying to say? Why am I telling you to put a horrible history slant on the Bible? Why am I doing that? We are not called to be successful. We are called to be obedient and faithful. That doesn't mean that God won't in his grace bring us success. He might do, he might not. But we are not called in life to be successful. We are called to be obedient and faithful. We are not called to be successful. We are called to be in our lives and in this church obedient and faithful. How do you feel about that? Because I'm telling you now, I cannot guarantee you as a church leader, we are going to be successful. And I cannot guarantee things will not go wrong. But I can promise that I will do my best, and hopefully you will do your best, to be obedient and faithful. Not to me, but to Jesus. And that might bring trouble. So anyway, Stephen called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said that, he fell asleep. So this guy has been stoned, he's been killed, he's been mocked, he's been probably beaten. And what does he say? He says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when, after he said this, he fell asleep, he is still gracious, even to the point of death. He is still God-focused. Even when he fell asleep, he knew that this life is not it. This life is not it. He had his eyes fixed on the realities of heaven. Where Jesus was stood waiting for him to shake his hand and say hello. Fix your eyes on the realities of heaven, where Jesus stands on the throne next to the Father. Whatever you are going through, whatever has happened, whatever choices that you have to make, fix your eyes on the realities of heaven, where Jesus stands with the Father. Are your realities, are your eyes fixed on the realities of heaven? Because that is the reality. Whatever you are going through, fix your eyes on the realities of heaven. You see, he had faith. Stephen had faith. He trusted God to the end. He had love. He loved these guys to pray for them, even when they were beating him and stoning him and killing him and gnashing their teeth at him. He loved them enough to pray for them. Do you love people the hard work? Do you love them enough to pray for them? Whatever they do. And he was filled with hope. He knew what the reality was. He knew there would be a day when Jesus would come and descend from heaven and we would be in glory and be like him. He knew that. He knew it. So he had faith, love, and hope. And finally, he knew God is sovereign. God is sovereign. They cast him out into the city, they stone him, and the witnesses laid their garments down at a feet of a young man called Saul. This abject failure, this sermon that went as pear-shaped as it possibly could have gone, that ended up in the persecution of the church, ending up of the destruction of probably the Jerusalem church, due to the sovereignty of God, sparked a man called Saul, who later went on to be called Paul, who wrote 1/3 of the gospel. God is sovereign. God doesn't have it all under control. That's the wrong term. I got pulled up by Alistair for that last week. But actually, God doesn't control at all. But he is sovereign. And do you trust God enough to know that he is sovereign? He is sovereign. He has it in his hands. And this abject failure, this persecution of the church, this guy who had so much potential, was so filled with God's Spirit, who ended up dead, sparked the emergence and the continuation of the early church through an apostle called Paul. Is that not amazing? Do you trust God? Do you trust in his sovereignty? Whatever is happening, God is sovereign. And God is good. He is good. So I'm going to end there. But if you want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit more, you can be filled as many times as you want. The free gift is always there. And you want more wisdom, more love, more joy, more peace, more boldness, more signs and wonders in your life, more of Jesus, more of God in your life, more of awareness of his sovereignty, more of the hope of God in your life, more of your love in your life, more of his power in your life. We want to pray for you. Amen. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back to Angela, I promise. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this story of Stephen. We thank you that you are sovereign and you are good. We thank you for the example of great potential, of filled with your Holy Spirit, but absolute abject failure in this life. But God, you take it and you use it and you waste nothing. Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, build your church, build your kingdom, build our lives, fill us with your Spirit. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Awesome.